Good evening and welcome everybody. Let me welcome also from FILA side, Mr. Giovanni Gorno, our chairman, and Mr. Stefano De Rosa, our CFO. So this third quarter has been definitely an interesting quarter because I think many more things have been learned and confirmed that in the recent years we have understood about FILA Group business. But I think this third quarter it's a good opportunity to confirm not only the environment where we work, but also even more important the realistic expectations that we can have. So first of all, I think that the resiliency of the business is not anymore under discussion. We have seen the third quarter that as we announced or as we expected, even in a very difficult environment at the end of March, I think that our path is, I would say, confirmed. We have learned, as you probably know, that our business is facing relevant difficulties in countries like India and Mexico, where schools are closed now since the 21st of March, and this give us the first important message. So the business of FILA is related to the number of kids that go to school, and I will repeat later. So our business is what we tend to say it's a cycle, so it's not related to the economical cycle, but it is related to the kids that go to school, or at least that can attend school in a remote way. Another important information is the result of the fine art. Fine art is doing, I would say, extremely well. In the last 4 years, we have invested not only the proceeds that we got from the IPO, but also the debt that we have put in the group to build and to reach a strong leadership worldwide in fine art business. And in the last 12 months, fine art helped us in reaching the actual results with a growth, with a more than double-digit growth, especially in North America. Another important point that we need to highlight this year, but this will be even more important for 2021, is our seasonality. Why I like to highlight this point. I consider the results of this third quarter, and it seems we can say the trend for 2020 positive. We have made our back to school and back to the seasonality of fine art during the storm. Our back to school usually start in May, and the seasonality of fine art start during mid-September until, let's say, mid to the end of November. So for 2020, we can say that we are able to reach these results during the perfect storm. But I think that we all agree that in 2021, we expect that the impact of the storm will be much less starting from April 2021, which is definitely a good information for the expectations in 2021. Going back to the group business, I think to simplify our life and our analysis of 2020, we need to split in three. India and Mexico, our two big issues, the school business and fine art business. So to give you an idea, at comparable FX, the group is 56 million euro below last year. Out of this 56 million euro, 47 million are related to India and Mexico. So this tells you how well we have performed in the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, I would like to highlight and stress, finally, the good performance of North America after the reorganization of 2018 and 2019. We suffered a lot. We struggled also for the SAP implementation. The merge of our two businesses in North America created a lot of one-time problems and services issue with customers. This year, the group has performed extremely well. The management has under control all the, I would say, the variable of the business, and we are happy that during the third quarter, but this trend is continuing during the month of October, school business is making up the difference that we had until the month of June, and fine art in North America is showing an important double digit growth. I like to ask now Stefano De Rosa, our CFO, to enter more in detail with the figures, and of course we'll be happy to answer all the coming questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Massimo. So I ask everybody to go to page 5 of the presentation so that we can start to analyze the core business sales trend. Core business sales in September are equal to 471.3 million, showing a decrease of 64.5, that's 12% compared to the previous period of the year. This difference, of course, must analyze also some FX effects. FX effects are equal to negative 7.4 million, mainly refer to India and Central South America. If we exclude this effect, the difference becomes equal to, compared to the previous year, to negative 57.1 million, less 10.7% compared the previous period. As Massimo said, this difference can be allocated mainly to the Asia, that means India geographic area, and Central South America area, that means mainly Mexico, but also Brazil, Argentina, and Chile, where we can find more of the approximately 60% of this difference, while we can see that the remaining part of the difference is referred to Europe and North America, but with I think a good improvement or reduction of this negative difference compared to June, because Europe is showing now a difference of negative 4.2%. In June we had negative 13%, so with a good recovery, and also in North America the difference in June was negative 2.5%, while now is negative 1.6%. The situation, I think, is the picture is more clear if we consider the trend in the product line. We see that the school and office product line now showed a difference in September of negative 75.1 million, negative 90.6%. That is, in June was negative 18, so with a little deterioration, but confirmed the negative trend of the school business due to the lockdown of the school. And the fine art, hobby, and digital area now show an increase of 13.8%, and in June was 4.2%. As Massimo said before, this very good trend that mitigate the general difference of sales that went in June is due to the good trend of the fine art. In the quarter, in the single quarter, we had plus approximately 40% in North America and plus 20% in Europe of the fine art. So this explains very well how the fine art helped the trend of the sales in this quarter, in these first 9 months. Also, the graphic, the analysis by geographic area and by product line show very well how, due to this trend of the fine art, also the geographic area of North America and Europe is increasing in the weight compared to other area. But it's very, I think, important to see how last year the fine art, the weight was 25.7% and now increased to 32.9%. That is totally in line and totally due to the very strong good trend of the fine art business. If you go to page 5, we can see that the adjusted EBITDA in September is equal to 78.1 million. The decrease compared to the previous year, if we exclude also the FX effect, is negative 10.9 million. That means less 12.4%. Again, if you remember in June, this difference was negative of 23%. So the here it's important to see, I think, to consider two aspects. The good trend of the sales in the geographic area with good margin, Europe and North America, the fine art business, of course, that has a very good margin, and also the action made by management in the containing the reduction of the fixed cost. If you remember, we had a plan to save 7 million euros at least of fixed cost, and in September we already reached this target. So this combined effect helps the group to improve also the EBITDA margin, that now it's a little better compared to the previous year, because it's 16.6% compared 16.5% that we had in September 19. Again, I would like to remember that in June we had a negative difference of 1.5% compared to the previous year. So this totally negative difference was totally recovered in this, due to this strong quarter in the fine art business. If we go to the next page, we can see the net income adjusted, and it's the difference of the net income that we have in September 2020 compared to September 2019, of course, is mainly due to the trend of EBITDA, because we have some assets that are balanced, a little more amortization due to the investment that we did, but mainly we can say that it's obvious that the difference in the net income is due to the difference that we have in the adjusted EBITDA. If we go to page 8, the net financial position and net bank debt, you know our seasonality, so it's quite normal that the net bank is worse than the amount that we had in December. The same for the net financial position balance that is affected also from the mark-to-market effect. But I think that it's very important to see the last 12 months decrease of the net bank. So we had a decrease that is important, as we had in June. The decrease is 23 million, but if we consider, if we exclude the cash out for the Arch acquisition and a positive FX effect of approximately 22 million, we say that the last 12 months reduction, decrease of the net bank debt is equal to approximately 45 million. That is quite in line with the amount that we had in June. Of course, is in line, but a little lower. This is due to the fact that, of course, now in September we have more months affected by the COVID effect than the amount of the months that we had in June. This is reflected also if you see the analysis by another side, the cash flow from a cash flow statement. You can see that the free cash flow to equity is equal to negative 30.7 million. That is worse than the previous year of approximately 13.2 million. The difference is not big compared to June, because in June we had a negative difference of 9 million. The increase of this difference is due to bigger absorption in the net working capital referred only to the inventory, in part compensated by the a good action made by the management in the reduction of the capex. So this mitigated effect in the working capital, so the difference now is negative only of 30.2 million. Let me point that about the working capital, the increase, the bigger absorption due to the inventory increase is due to a clear effect. We had the lockdown in Mexico, so part is due to the Mexican inventory, and also in North America, due to the total switch, you can say, or the big switch from the school business and our business, of course, we have still some part of the inventory that is made by school products. So it's due to a different, and that was not possible to foresee, of a mix of sales that we had due to the COVID reason. So I think that we can let now space to the Q&A section. So I open the section.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. The first question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have a few questions for you. The first one is on Arch. We have seen that in this 2020, the contribution of Arch has been quite negligible. And so I was wondering when you think you can restart selling in full Arch products, and so basically when all the network staffing could be considered as over and depleted. The second question is on your EBITDA guidance for the year. Basically, to reach the low end of your guidance, so 100 million, you have to do in the fourth quarter less EBITDA than last year. So, considering that last year you had a very weak North America in the fourth quarter, considering that probably we can see some movement on the school side in India in particular, what could go wrong for you to reach this 100 million level in the fourth quarter. And related to this question, you mentioned 7 million of cost savings. Can you tell us, Stefano, how many million you saved in the 3Q alone? Thank you very much. For the time being, it's fine.
Thanks, Nicolò. For us, contribution, but first, I don't have the number splitted into Arch. What I can tell you is that Arch is absolutely in line with expectation, if not a little better. When we made the first, let's say, projection for Arch, we did not know exactly the amount of inventory that we would have taken back from the previous distributor. This is not a major impact, but clearly next year we're going to have a 12 months full effect, while this year we are not having, number one, we are going to have only 9 months, and so far we had only 6 months. But we took back almost 2.5 million euro at a much higher cost than our production cost of today, because a previous Arch legal entity sold to Colart with their margin, and Colart sold to us with another 10% margin. So the impact of Arch is fully confirmed, and let me remember that between distribution and production, we estimate 8.5 million euro on a yearly base. Arch is absolutely performing as expected, but we estimate that the stock that we took back, plus the fact that the previous distributor has fulfilled some customers, we really started selling in full Arch around last May or June. So really, to see the full result of Arch, we should wait 2021. Anyway, we are extremely happy of the results. Concerning the EBITDA guidance, let me joke a little bit, but if you remember, we gave the guidance the last week of March, when 99.9% of the company, public company, refused to give any kind of guidance. So at least the message I want to give is that the company is now again completely under control. If you recall, in 2018 and 2019, we had to restructure the supply chain. We had to move plants and warehouses and to go live with the SAP. And we were a bit criticized by the inaccuracy of our guidance. I don't think we can say the same this year. I think that we have completely under control the situation. From now till the end of the year, you are right. India is giving first sign of recovery. In fact, there are secondary schools that are opening. And if there is no negative news from the pandemia, we will see also primary schools and kindergarten to open 1st December or at the latest 1st January. Another important news we got from Mexico, it was 2 days ago, in which the Ministry of Education announced that the state in green light, there is one state, and the state in yellow light, there are 12, can start organizing the schools in order to reopen. They didn't say when. We expect again something between December and January. I would like to be very transparent. In our simulation till the end of the year, we don't want to consider India and Mexico because it's a gamble. It's impossible to bet on what these governments are going to do. I think that we are extremely close, or we are inside the guidance. The only say condition I put on this is that Italy will not go again in total lockdown. So in other words, that Italy, and I say Italy because United States and the rest of Europe are not questioning school. In Italy, every morning you wake up with someone that say you have to close the school, then in the afternoon someone else say no, you have to keep the school open. So in this unstable situation, we are very happy to confirm that we are very close to the guidance. If you recall, I always said that during the call of the second quarter and during the meeting in September that we had fixed the threshold of 92 million if India and Mexico would continue stay in lockdown. So it seems that the situation is much better than what I thought in August and September. I think it's enough that we are not going to have any negative surprise from now until the end of December, until mid-December, in terms of further school lockdown, which I don't think will happen, by the way. So we are extremely close to the guidance. For the third question, I would like Stefano to answer.
Yes, Nicola, sorry, I didn't catch exactly what you say about the cost saving. You want to know the estimate for the end of the year, or what did you ask?
No, no. How much of the 7 million was in Q3?
Ah, yes, was let's say more or less 2 million.
And should we expect something more for the fourth quarter, or you are done with 7 million?
Yes, of course it will improve because we are the focus still on the cost saving. Some part is natural because comes from the stop of traveling, stop of fare, so for sure. And the part is still due to some contribution for personal cost by the local government. So yes, will be higher for the end of the year.
Thank you.
The next question is from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. First one is so on visibility that you have on non-recurring costs going further into the fourth quarter. So you had 9.5 million in the first 9 months. Do you have any visibility on what that figure can be in the fourth quarter? Second question is on cash flow. Should you reach your 100 million euro bottom end of EBITDA guidance, can we still expect something in the ballpark of about 30 to 35 million euro free cash flow by year end? And third question is, can you give us some more color on your online channel? Is it only for, I mean, it's your fine arts segment is quite more exposed to this one, but what are the trends that you've seen going after September on your online sales? Thank you.
Stefano, can you please answer? Can you please answer the first two questions?
Okay. So about the non-recurring cost, the increase, there will be some increase because we still have some inefficiency costs related to the COVID for the disruption of the supply chain. So I think that leader part will be present also in the last quarter, as some little queue for some restructuring costs, but it will be not big, as was not very big compared to first half. So I cannot estimate exactly, but can be half a million, 1 million, I don't know exactly, but for sure we'll be referring only to this COVID inefficiency cost that of course will be present also in the last quarter. About the cash flow, the question was
Cash generation.
Cash generation, yes. The cash generation, at the moment, with Massimo, we confirmed that the cash generation for the end of the year linked to the EBITDA will be between 20 and 30 million. We are working to maximize this target, and so we confirm what we said also in the previous meeting and calls.
Okay. Concerning your third question, in fact, there are not big impact from online sales because really the two countries that are in lockdown situation and that has been in lockdown situation for a long time are India and Mexico, in which anyway Fine Art has a really minimal percentage of the turnover. In the rest of the world where Fine Art is running, all our customers, I mean physical customers, have been open throughout the pandemic except the month of April, which historically is a very low month for sales. We have seen a regular growth of online sales as in a normal period. We see Amazon growing, but nothing special. I mean, it's a normal growth of our online sale as in a normal year.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about it's a follow-up on the on last analyst that asked about the free cash flow to equity that you are guiding for the year, and then you answer from 20 to 30 million. I think that EBITDA is something okay. It's not so material. The change is 2 million more, 2 million less. It's not the question. So I just wanted to understand what are the assumptions about networking capital and what are the elements that can move, I mean, this target from the low end, high end. In particular, maybe about inventories in U.S. and I think about credits in or inventories in Mexico. So just to give assumption on variables about this kind of guidance that you provided. My second question is still about the net financial position. I saw that there is a huge impact coming from, important impact coming from Forex below the line. I would like to better understand this trend. And finally, if you could elaborate a little bit more on the trend, organic trend of Arch, if you had it, of course. Thank you.
Stefano, I will answer the first question
concerning
the working capital to Alessandro. Alessandro, the reason why we have to be conservative, not just because it makes sense, but because it's really connected to the reality, is because in Mexico we had several announcements that the school would have opened in, if you go to internet, you can find opened in August and then in September. So we have the full back to school in our inventory, and it's not easy to calculate the working capital as we still don't know when school will reopen. The second negative impact comes from India. India is a great cash generator in FILA world, because in India we sell cash. So when we receive an order and we ship this order, we sell cash. So the impact, the fact that India is practically almost closed or working at a very reduced speed, reduce our capability of generating cash, of course, on a temporary basis, because as I said before, we think that the schools will reopen between December and January. A third element that it's not easy to manage is that in the United States, for example, we have, it's true that we have a lot of schools open, but there are many moving parts. So there are only one third of the school with physical presence and two thirds of the schools in remote. This change a lot the mix of sales. So it is as in this moment we want to take the opportunity, and we wanted to take the opportunity to supply the market in the best way and being recognized as an important leader. Of course, it was almost impossible as we have no history. Fortunately, there is no history related to the pandemia. Clearly, we have some excess stock, which is really temporary. But it's difficult to imagine if school will remain in remote, those we are going to sell some type of SKUs, or when school will start to be back to physical presence, then we will sell some overstock that we have. On top of this, in United States, we are fortunately facing an unbelievable growth of fine art. And as you can imagine, when you have requests that go in the area of 20 or 30% compared to last year, you can imagine that there is a moment in which you need to grow working capital in order to respond to this unbelievable amount of orders. What we have hard time to understand is if we are going to deliver and cash the receivable all within the end of December, or maybe some will into January and February. It's not an easy year to plan. We are extremely focused, but again, I want to underline that the guidance we gave of 20-30 million, that in certain moment of the year could appear even too optimistic, we do confirm despite the difficult environment. So at the moment, I prefer to stay consistent with what we have always said. Stefano?
Okay, so my question was related to FX. I think that the point is a good point because it's a good point because it's a mixed effect. On the net result, we have a negative difference of 6.3 million compared to previous year, but that is a combined effect by negative 8 million FX and plus a better, let's say, less interest cost of 2 million. So let me say that first we have less interest cost of 2 million. That is due to decrease of the margin ratchet that we reached in December, and that we frozen for all the year due to the frozen of the margin ratchet that the banks gave us together the covenant holiday. And half, to be honest, this 2 million is due to the better margin ratchet, and half is due to a better manage of the working capital of some country, because due to in this period we were able to minimize the use of the line. Also Mexico, that is quite strange due to the political strategy that was agreed at the beginning of the year. Increase the use less lines than the amount that we foreseen. So generally, with 2 million of interest saving, what happened on the FX. This is due mainly to USA, because in our acquisition financing there were allocated 50 million of euro, more or less, to the USA euro. So unfortunately, last year we had a positive effect of 5%. This year we had a negative effect of 5%. So we have, because if you know, this is the effect of the P&L that we have due to the valuation of the balance sheet item at the exchange rate of the ending period. So it's not the average exchange rate. So USA has this foreign currency loan of 50 million that is part of the M&A acquisition loan, and due to the different trend that we had last year, where we had a positive effect, and this year that we have a negative effect, if you do the addition of these two effects, we have a difference of 10% in the US. So this caused a temporary evaluation effect on our P&L of more than 5 billion. The other part is due to Russia and Brazil, because also this country has some foreign currency loan. So it's a temporary effect, and this is come from, say, the M&A financing was not aged, because in the agreement there was not a chance to age this part of the loan, and so let's see what we let. It's part of the bullet or some amount, so I hope that the trend of the exchange rate will change in the future. But it's an unlucky effect due to a totally different effect that we had last year in the P&L, plus 5%, and this year less 5% due to the final period exchange rate. So this is the reason why we have this big negative FX effect. The company, for your knowledge anyway, for this year start to apply anyway an aging policy in order to avoid for the future this big effect that we can have.
Thank you, Stefano. So it was mostly about the net financial position, that 17.6 million that is.
Sorry, Ale?
Was the impact of exchange rate at the net financial position, that was 17.6 million, that is quite material, is linked to the US part, I think.
Yeah, it's a different set, of course. One part of the P&L is used by the P&L, and on the NFP, of course, is due to the big balance of the US dollar, that, correct, is, let's say, part of allocated to Mexico, the other part allocated to USA. Let's say half and half.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Scauri with Lemonic. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Massimo. I have one simple question the level of the inventories. Let's take the glass half full, and let's assume that Mexico and India will reopen. Do you see the level of inventories of the distributors in at a level that needs to be rebuilt if there is a reopening of schools in those areas, or alternatively the level of inventories are already full and need to be deployed? I think that this is important for you, because if inventories of your distributors are empty, basically there would be a massive working capital release. Do I am right, or is there anything missing in my assumption? Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea, for your question. Yes, in fact, this is we have not yet discussed about 2021, but your
your question touch a very important point. In 2020, almost one-fourth, which is the amount of business that we do in India and in Mexico, almost disappeared from our balance sheet because we didn't have the back to school. So in 2021, what should happen? That there will be a normal back to school starting in June, July, for the reopening of the school in August, September, like every year. In Mexico and in India. What could happen now is that if, and I underline, if schools will reopen in January or February or March, we do expect a percentage of another back to school that didn't happen in 2020. That could, of course, make 2021 a very interesting year for Fila because our customers are not full for the simple reason that in those countries they were closed. It was not like Italy. In Mexico, customers were closed, retailers were closed for a much longer period of time. So they couldn't buy products for this reason. So back to school simply did not exist in 2020. So we do expect a full back to school in 2021 because we have a realistic expectation that COVID will not have any kind of impact in after May, and I think this we read everywhere because of the vaccine, because of medicine, because probably of a normal trend of this disease that should definitely be reduced after March, April, and we could have some nice surprises from the reopening of the schools because our customers are definitely empty.
Okay, there might be a double effect, reopening plus build up of inventory.
Yeah, maybe. No, I wouldn't consider that a double effect. But if we say that in a normal, we consider anyway the 2021 as a normal year for Fila, because as I said, our seasonality starts in May. I think that. Maybe we're going to have 1.5 back to school. I think it's in those countries. This is realistic to say.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Nicolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
One quick question. Considering that last year you moved your production or a big portion of your production from China to either Mexico or India, is the devaluation of Mexican peso and Indian rupee somewhat helping you on the margin side, meaning that you have cost in these very cheap currencies, whereas you are selling products in dollars. Thank you.
Yes, Nicolò, of course, what you say is correct, and this helped us in a certain way to generate a bit of cash. And as I said a couple of months ago, both countries, despite they are almost closed, we are not burning cash. It's also true that when we translate into euro our EBITDA, we have the same effect. So it's more a competitive advantage, temporary competitive advantage that we have produced in those, fortunately, in those countries, because as they completely lost their domestic market, we could help them to survive.
Thank you.
The next question is from Emmanuel De Figueiredo with LBV Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get a bit of color on the changes on distribution channel, going to an earlier question about the online channel. So both of the school and fine arts, has the trend towards online accelerated? Is there a big difference in incidence in Europe and the US between fine arts and school? And is Amazon your biggest customer? Thank you.
Yes, Amazon is definitely our biggest customers because we made the choice not to sell directly online, and it is definitely our biggest customer. There is a substantial difference between North America and Europe. In Europe, we saw a strong acceleration of Amazon during the lockdown period. But when the physical retailers opened, the business has 95% gone back to our physical distributor. So this means that the European customer is more used or like better to buy with physical presence. In United States, the growth of Amazon has been accelerated at an unbelievable trend in the area of 300% during the lockdown period. Of course, now it is slowing down, but in United States, Amazon is having an unbelievable growth. I would also like to stress that in North America, we work with Amazon at a comparable margin with the rest of the distribution. In Europe, we have much higher margins with Amazon than the rest of the distribution.
And if you were to give an estimate, because for example in the UK you have some of the supermarkets chains where you can buy it online and you can buy it through their stores. So do you have any sense of how much of your products are sold online versus offline, or it's very difficult?
It's an estimation that I could do not in few seconds. I would say that if I take the numbers, I mean the consolidated numbers is still a number below 10%.
Okay.
Definitely is quickly growing.
And the performance in fine arts is similar to the school, either a similar penetration?
No, it's definitely lower, but it is a trend. In fine art, the situation is we control the best and the most important brands in the world. So our consumers, especially, I mean, in fine art, there is a strong brand recognition, strong brand barrier. So really, the consumer is looking for our brand even in e-commerce. The trend is for sure in favor of growth of the e-commerce, but as of now it's not a big number as of now.
Okay, sorry, and my last one, sorry, on this online thing, do you sell with all your brands in Amazon, or do you deliberately keep some brands out from Amazon?
No, for the moment, we sell, it's a good question, you are right. For the moment, we sell everything. Again, for the moment, we tend, and here I refer more to Europe, where Amazon is not respecting our price list or our indication or our request of margin, we tend not to supply them, which does not mean that they do not have our product because they can buy from our customer. But I give you an example. In France, we have not supplied Amazon for 8 months this year because they did not accept our price increase on certain products. When they accepted in August, we started supplying them. So for the moment, it's a reasonable, balanced relationship.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giorgio Mazzarelli with Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. I have a question on the fine art, which is clearly the solid performer on Fila portfolio in 2020. Two questions. First, if you can give us some indication of performance of fine art in the current environment. So, third quarter show an acceleration. What do you see in fourth quarter in terms of fine art? If it's a spread out in terms of geographies, performance, or is growing more in some regions versus others? And related to this question, how do you see this performance? Is sustainable? Is more driven by lockdown? Was it truly, solid and long-term grower categories also going forward? And finally, again on fine art, we are expecting to have a higher margin than the average product in your portfolio. Is it the reason why we have seen such a high margin in the third quarter 2020, and what kind of improvement we could expect going forward thanks to this different product mix with more fine art and school? Thanks.
Thanks, Giorgio. Yes, the third quarter performance says that we have reached almost 19% EBITDA on turnover. Of course, I like that we have been able to reach this number because a couple of years ago, I stressed that the point that Fila was targeting an average increase of margin thanks to the investment in fine art. So this third quarter tell us that we are on the right track. Let me come back to some general informations. The question was quite general, so because it is important. It is true that we are overperforming in fine art, but please remember that the negative numbers in schools are inflated by India and Mexico. So if you take out India and Mexico, the numbers of schools are just below last year in North America and in Europe. So I think this is important to say because we can expect a substantial growth in school business when India and Mexico will restart. Fine art, if you recall, when we announced we wanted to become a strong leader, we always recognize an organic growth of this business in the area of 4% in United States, 2% in Europe, and a double-digit growth in China and in India. The trend of fine art is influenced a lot by the age of our consumer, so it's undoubtedly the population of the world is getting older, so this clearly helps the trend of sales of Fine Art. So we remain very positive on an organic growth, also because thanks to our organization of subsidiaries around the world, we see a double-digit growth in every single country of the world. As your question was, in what geographic area you see Fine Art growing, it is unbelievable. We see a double-digit growth in Australia, in Argentina, in Israel, in UK, in United States, in also in Italy. So this is extremely important. I do not expect that the trend can continue in this way. This trend is very much related to the fact that people are staying more at home, and clearly a healthy hobby like drawing is taking a lot of interest. Probably, as I see the future of the world, I don't see the trend that we had until February 2020 in terms of travels to go back to a normal situation for many years, at least 2 or 3 years. I see Fine Art a very good place to be. And let me remember that we invested in Fine Art in the last 3 years, including Pacon investment that, if you recall, we invested to take the leadership in Fine Art in North America. So this is fortunately happening. Fila invested only 4 or 5 years ago in Fine Art. So to give some dignity to this strategic decision, I think that our investors should be happy of the decision that we took a few years ago. So I think that we have to be positive. We have to be positive because there are countries in which the business is growing, like China. India has just invested in a completely new plant and start selling Fine Art in India. That, by the way, in the domestic market is one of the few lines that we are selling in India currently. So we see the trend of Fine Art to continue growing, of course, not at this path. One last information, I spoke with a few competitors. Their trend is also strong, not at the magnitude we are seeing. So the market is growing, but we are definitely beating the market.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everybody. My first question is a brief follow-up to the margin question of Giorgio, especially looking for 2021. If we assume hopefully a normal year, even for school and office, which is the level of profitability you may target, assuming normal trends for both school and office and Fine Arts. Second question is a very quick follow-up on the cash flow guidance. Which are the elements we should take into account when trying to translate this cash flow guidance into the delta in terms of net financial position 2020 versus 2019? Is just the cash out for Arch, or are there any other elements excluded from this cash flow guidance? And then the very last question is, if you can remind us which is the gap in terms of profitability between Fine Arts and school and office divisions.
Okay. Thanks. Let me start from the third question. I think we always said, and we can confirm, because what we said, it was a medium-long-term trend. We always said that when Fila went public, wanted to target a 17.5% EBITDA. And we also said that thanks to Fine Art, we could target also an 18 to 18.5% EBITDA. By the way, these trends we do confirm. These numbers are how we do reach these numbers. We do reach numbers dividing in three portions our business. The emerging market in which school is very important, we target a 14% EBITDA. The industrialized countries in which we put North America and Europe, in which Fila is able to reach 17.5% EBITDA, and Fine Art, in which we target 20% EBITDA. We do confirm these target as realistic and reachable. Concerning 2021, we have not yet neither given it guidance nor having an internal budget approved, because it's a little bit too early. But for sure, as you have seen, despite COVID, the group is already able in 2020 to increase the average profitability despite a lower turnover. Already in the third quarter, we have improved by 0.1%, which is not big, but it is significant. So I would say if we take out from the table COVID year, we were targeting 17% in 2020, and we will move this target to 2021. And then we want to go back to the original target, that was at least around 18%. Don't forget that next year we're going to have the full 12 months on the Arsh acquisition, which is important because it is extremely profitable, and we are going to have also a company that is going to finally have 12 consecutive months without extraordinary problems, because we had a reorganization in 2018, SAP go live in 2019, COVID in 2020. Maybe finally we will be able to have 12 normal months that will allow us to execute in a normal environment. Concerning the second question, I ask Stefano to answer to you.
Yes, thanks Massimo. For the guidance, if I understood well your question, you should exclude only Arsh acquisition effect. So in our guidance, it's exactly in line from with what you can see at page 9, so there is a free cash flow to equity, so our guidance is referred to the free cash flow to equity, and so the Arsh acquisition is the only element that we exclude at the moment. I don't talk about, of course, the cashless effect that you know, because I refer to the net financial position. So to answer to your question, it's only Arsh acquisition to be excluded.
Okay, great. Many thanks, Massimo and Stefano.
Thank you to you.
The next question is a follow-up from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick one to finish. With the election of Joe Biden, do you expect some kind of normalization of trade relationships between the U.S. and China? And would you consider bringing back some of your production capabilities in China, also given that you've got your forest there that's going to be ready for production in less than a couple of years, if I recall? So is there something that you're considering?
Sorry to be very clear, not at all, because I don't think with Biden the situation with China will change, not only because it's my guess, but because I have an important source that tell me that the US and China relationship are in United States are considered bipartisan, so there is no difference between Democratic and Republican. The move we have made is not a plan B. It's a perfect efficient situation because both in Mexico and in India we have access to local raw material. In this moment, the labor cost is lower in Mexico and much lower in India compared to China. We have reorganized our Chinese production for the needs of the domestic market and the European market. We have, by the way, good expectation for domestic market in China, so we think that our Chinese organization do not need anymore the US business. So I think we are fine, we are happy. Nevertheless, I don't think the situation between US and China will improve. It's more a strategic problem that it will not be an easy solution with Biden or with whomever will be in the White House.
Thank you.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back to management for any closing remarks.
I take the opportunity to thank everybody, and I wish you a good end of the year. Hopefully that we will see better infection number during the next call. Thanks everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye. Have a nice evening.